It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Evan and Tiki on the Fan here on this Tuesday afternoon. 3 hours or so till Yankees-Orioles, a huge series in the Bronx that you can hear right here on the Fan. You can hear here on the Fan. So we're taking your calls, Mets, Yankees, 888-808-1019. One thing that just popped in front of my phone about 10 seconds ago, popped in my mind, Tiki. I am going to tell you, and I will admit this is an extreme hot take that I believe, and I had a conversation with my dad about on Sunday, and it's never been more evident than the news I just saw on my phone.
All right, go ahead.
All right, this will never happen, so I understand it's ridiculous. I believe we should hit a point in time where the Yankees, in theory, unretire every number.
What?
Okay.
Why?
Not that any Yankee should ever wear 3 again for Babe Ruth, right. but we've gotten to the point of ridiculous. They've called up Ben Rice. Ben Rice has been assigned number 93. And for me, look, this isn't football with a D tackle or a D end. And you know, Tiki, your number 21 is not retired by the Giants. How hard it is to have your number retired in football. You need a million numbers, 53 guys and whatnot.
Right.
I see Ben Rice get called up at 93, and maybe this is the old man part of me at 37 years old. The Yankees have retired so many damn numbers, and I think all of them are deserving in Yankee lore, that can't we have the numbers retired while still being worn, where they're honored out there in Monument Park? Like, to me, you know, 51's retired for Bernie Williams. There's a couple that we could say, wink, wink, we'll never wear again.
Yeah.
But like others where you're like, they're retired, but they're not.
Well, it's interesting because the University of Virginia doesn't. I mean, there are a couple of numbers that are retired.
Right.
But instead of retiring some of their Legends jerseys, including mine, or their Legends numbers,
right,
including mine, they retire our jerseys. So,
okay.
I forget when this was, probably 2004 or 5 or something, somewhere around then. The Cavaliers, UVA football, retired my jersey. Not my number,
okay,
but they retired my jersey.
So your jersey just hangs up there, but
people
wear 21?
It's the number 21 and with Barber.
Right.
Right. So my jersey's retired, but my number is not retired.
So if another person with the name of Barber comes through, they better not wear 21.
Right,
but somebody else could wear 21.
Exactly.
So
they didn't recruit my kids, so the other barbers couldn't wear it.
So before my timeline blows up with, you're an idiot, do this, I understand that the Yankees are never going to do this, but there's a part of me now living through all of these Yankee retired numbers.
It's funny you say that. It's so true.
When I see a guy like Ben Rice get called up, I don't know. It's like when I see a football player wearing single digits and playing a different position. 93.
And the problem with 93 is it doesn't look good.
Oh, it's ugly on a baseball uniform. Judge is the only one that's perfected wearing like a number in the 90s because it's 99. It's unique.
Well,
he's tall.
It's also 99 is a lean number. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like because it's...
It's not clunky.
Exactly. It's not clunky. It's kind of... It's the uniformity of it makes it... It looks pretty. But when you get like 90 multiple numbers, if you're not massive, like D tackle massive, it just doesn't look right. It just strikes you as
it's uncomfortable.
It's
just
funny. I haven't seen it yet. But
I know this is asinine. I'm going to keep saying words. I'm going to tell you're asinine. When Ben Rice takes the field tonight, I'm going to be excited to see Ben Rice. but I'm going to feel as if the call-up is not serious when I see that he's wearing number 93. It's just not a baseball number. But what, you're looking at me like
I'm just trying to figure out, I understand that there's a lot of retired numbers, but you don't have 100 retired numbers. Why did they land on 93? You couldn't give the guy something a little closer?
Even Luis Gil wearing 81, like, it just doesn't look right.
But the 90s are reserved for, like, crazy relievers.
Right.
Like, they usually wear those because of Rodman.
But I also think when I see 90, the first thing I think about is massive human being.
Yeah,
I don't know why. I think it's the football bias in my head, but I think of massive human being. And then when I see 81, I think, oh, man, he's got good hands.
Yeah, body tumor.
Start thinking about wide receivers.
But baseball, it's just, I don't know, something unique. I think all those numbers that live in the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, to me, like, those are baseball numbers. And we can acknowledge, like, nobody should wear Babe Ruth's number again. Mm-hmm. They're not going to do it. I'm probably wasting the last 4 minutes of everybody's time. But 93 on Ben Rice is ugly, and that's my point. And I hate that basically he's being force-fed this number.
Well, you don't have to unretire it, but you could just let somebody else wear it. It just stays retired.
Right, right. Well, that's what I'm saying. It lives there forever, but we know, okay, that's really his number, but we're having
Babe Ruth doesn't really have a say in the matter.
Maybe that's the rule. You die, you can't be
saved. Yeah, you don't have a say once you're in the
ground. Jeff in Middletown. Jeff, what's up? You're on the Fan.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Honor and a pleasure.
Appreciate you, man.
So one thing I wanted to throw out there, and I mean, this is across all sports. Like, you know, let's go. We were talking about Mantle. Fine. So you have the number 7 Mantle retired. So the jersey's retired, but the number still stays open for use.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's what Tiki was saying, yeah.
That's what UVA does.
Eventually we're going to get to a time in our life where nobody's alive who remembers who Babe Ruth is.
I mean,
that's an awkward time.
I know, right? You just must not care about baseball.
Do you think teams would go triple digits ever? Like number 100?
There are no sports that have triple digits, right?
Yeah. But could you get to that point?
Well,
if you
the only ones are like triathlons.
Yeah, okay. But we're not talking about Major League Baseball.
But no team sport has triple digits.
Is that the CBA?
Am I correct?
I believe so. Yeah, I've never seen anything.
I'm trying to figure out how it would fit. You know what I mean?
Like, make him.
Well, what's it going to be in the sidebar here?
Well, listen, there's a lot of fat guys who would look good in triple digits. Bartolo Colon, if you gave him number 107, he'd look perfect.
Yeah. Tony Siragusa, may rest in peace. He would have been amazing in triple digits because he was massive.
Totally. Mike in South Bounderbrook. Mike, what's up?
Hey, guys. So the old saying is I've seen this movie before, right? With the Mets.
Right.
You know? I've been living and dying with them a long time. They were terrible for 2 months. Now they're on a little streak, which mm-hmm. is great. And I hope I'm wrong. But, you know, typically they don't maintain a little streak like this after being bad for
two months. Mike, the only reason I'd push back on that is because the reason that they're hot right now is because the guys that are supposed to be their like go-to good players, they're actually playing like they're supposed to.
Sure.
So if they do that for the majority of the rest of the season, don't you got to believe this?
Oh, he pulled out the you got to believe.
No, I'm not even thinking. That was accidental. But you know what I mean?
If, you know, I mean, maybe they will. You know, I hope I'm wrong. I don't think they will because, like I said, they were so bad for 2 months.
Yes.
Now all of a sudden they're good. So what would make me believe that they're going to be able to sustain it after being really bad for 2 months? Like, all of a sudden, like, any team can have a good streak, right?
Right, of course.
Yeah.
Even the worst
teams. Pretty
much. Evan says this all the time.
Yeah,
even the worst teams are going to fall upon a 5-game win streak. But
I
think
exactly.
The difference with the Mets is that these guys, Lindor and Alonso and even Nimmo, JD obviously is the one who I'm giving the Catalyst Award to here, even though it's probably Lindor with the closed-door meeting. But they're supposed to be good.
And they weren't at the same time.
And they weren't. They all weren't at the same time. And now they have been, especially Lindor after he got moved to the leadoff spot. So I think that this is more of what you would have expected, right? This is more of when the season was about to start, you're saying, all right, this is why they're going to be good.
I think the truth lies somewhere in the middle. I think you're...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Seeing them all click at the same time, and this is the reason you got to believe. But you also saw them all. None of them hitting at the same time. When they're all bad at the same time, they're really bad. That's why I think eventually this thing will balance out, which is probably why the Mets will hang around, because when it balances out, what are the Mets when you look at a paper? A 500 team.
Dude, I would love to see, an empirical study of this from a sports standpoint. When good players underperform, is it because they're all underperforming? Or is it something...
Like feeding off each other on the underperformance?
Yes.
You got to remember, you're working with me and Loogie right now, using the word empirical. Not that Evan would have helped you.
It's just statistical analysis.
I heard that in A Beautiful Mind once, was like, what the hell is this guy talking about?
Right. He's just doing a statistical analysis, right? So you just look at how teams that underperform, they have good players, so you got to have a track record. Like, the back of the baseball card has got to be pretty good. And that team underperforms. Is it because they all of a sudden stink? Or is it because everybody's underperforming? Because right now, with the Mets, that's what it feels like. It feels like... Nobody was lifting anybody else up. And then all of a sudden, they get into a closed door conversation, and Francisco Lindor, and I don't know who else spoke in this meeting, but I'm just going to use Francisco Lindor as the example, says, we got to do our process better.
Right.
We got to be more connected. We got to do X, Y, and Z, and yada, yada, yada. And all of a sudden, J.D. Martinez starts hitting because he's missed most of spring training. He missed all of spring training. He missed the first month and a half of the season. He starts hitting. Lindor gets moved. Lineup change, shifts around. J.D. goes to third, from being down in the lineup. And all of a sudden, it's like, all right, you do good. All right, I'm doing well. You're doing well. It feels like they're starting to feed off one another. I mean, yeah, last night, everybody had a hit.
Everybody, right.
And most of them had multiple hits.
Lindor had two hits before you could sit down.
Right. And so, when you're starting to bat around in innings, it's kind of, you're clicking, man.
Yeah.
And so, what caused that is the question. Because it wasn't just, hey, we just decided. Something must have happened. And I don't know if it was.
What tangibly
what came first? I don't know. This is the chicken and the egg thing, even though we all know that the chicken came first.
Nobody's more arrogantly talked about the chicken and the egg and what came first than Tiki Barber.
It had to be the chicken.
What were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, that last caller, he seemed like a nice fella, but this is what I'm talking about, preaching positivity over the last couple weeks, because that guy is everything wrong that's wrong with this fan base, my fellow Met fans. The negativity, the toxicity, they're on a roll, they're clicking on all cylinders, and this guy says, well, I've seen this before. What are we, Jacob Marley? What are we, doomed for life? What are we never getting out of this?
Jacob Marley.
Come on, man.
Tell me you saw Christmas Carol.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
I know who Ebenezer Scrooge is.
So Jacob Marley in the afterlife.
Ghosts. Gotcha.
He's one of his former partners who was a ghost.
Thank you.
I know Bob Marley.
We are not destined for... there you go. We're not destined for life to lose. Let's be positive.
Right.
So even in a winning streak, it's the yeah buts and when is the other shoe going to drop? Enjoy this. Ride the momentum.
Loogie, here's what...
And embrace the positivity.
Here's what the Met fan can't do compared to any other past season.
Right, because it doesn't matter what happened in the past.
It's not related. Right, I know. We have that old cliche: those who don't remember the past are doomed to forget or repeat it, or whatever the heck it is. It's not the case in sports. It's just different.
Every team is different. Every group of guys, even if some of the same ones are there,
even if it's basically the same team, year one, year two, they're gonna be different.
Unless of course you're the Yankees or Rangers in the playoffs, then of course the same ending. Damn it, Chris and Ron Konkama. Chris, what's up?
What's up, Chris?
Hey guys, how you doing? You guys were talking about the numbers, and I had an idea. Like, say your number's 10, and it's retired already. 10 with like a quotation, like a 2, like a square root, and 3, right? A little number in the corner. What do you think about that?
That's interesting.
A square root number? Are we going to get to that point?
Now batting the square root of 10.
How
Sean
ridiculous.
Morash.
You see, that's what you...
Sean Morash.
You can't make it that ridiculous. I think you just keep the numbers or jerseys retired, and it becomes a free-for-all. They're all open again. Sorry, Joe Torre. Somebody else is wearing six again, pal. Thanks for all those World Series, but that number lives out there forever under you.
Joe, could you not have worn, like, I don't know, 58?
Yeah, you know what? You look back. Joe Torre, how selfish wearing a single digit.
I know.
How selfish. Neil and Weehawken. Neil, what's up?
What's up, Neil?
Hey, so I want to just disagree with you on what that Mets caller said. Look, I think culture is important, and this is – Steve Cohen is not Fred Wilpon. They're different people. Steve Cohen's got to build his own infrastructure, and now he's got his guy, David Stearns, who – look, obviously the jury's still out. He's new with this, but – why can't he be good at this? Why can't he be different? Right? I don't understand why my fellow Mets.
I agree.
And then it's just terrible. I mean, Tiki, I got a question.
Go ahead.
Collins, right?
Yes.
Before Carey, and I don't want to knock anybody because obviously they did something I could never do.
Right.
I think it was Danny Cannell and Kent Graham.
Yes.
Were the quarterbacks before him. And I remember Strahan said something about once Carey got here, we felt different.
He was.
Right?
Yes.
Right, culture changed. And even, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't those early Yankees with, you know, of Jeter's, when Jeter was still a kid, he wasn't a player on the team, right? He came into an environment where people helped him
he evolved,
become who he eventually became.
He evolved into the what then became the captain. And, you know, I can't speak to the Yankees because I wasn't obviously in those clubhouses, but with Kerry Collins, it was a confidence thing. Right when Kerry, Ernie Accorsi brought Kerry Collins to the Giants, it was less about, you know, we need someone who's going to be great and lead us to a Super Bowl. We didn't realize that, know that at the time, but it was more about we need someone who's not scared about his job, right? Like someone who was brought here specifically to do X, Y, and Z, and he's going to do it, and we know he's going to be confident about it because you guys remember Kerry,
yeah,
he was.
Cock back and
right. But I'm talking about as a person.
Right. Oh God, yeah.
Right. And that was the
we all remember the video in New Orleans.
That was
the
off field negativity stuff. But who that was, he was still that same guy once he cleaned himself up.
Right.
And obviously he's been sober for a lot of years now. But once he was cleaned up, he was still that guy.
He
walked out of a police station with a cigar in his mouth, like what?
That's confidence.
Right. And it was confidence. And you needed that kind of I'll never forget. We had this our offensive line coach was one of the best offensive line coaches in the NFL. And he might have been 5'6". Maybe he was 5'6".
Low man wins.
His name was Jim McNally. And we called him Mouse because he looked like a mouse. And he was always coaching. Always. And nobody said anything when he talked because he was such a good coach. Very respected coach. He came into our huddle once Kerry Collins was there one time. And Kerry basically just looked at him and was like, Jim, get the bleep out of my huddle. And it was like, wow.
You told Mouse.
Wow. Right. And so, like, when you bring guys like that into your locker room / clubhouse, it just changed. That's what Strahan was talking about. It just changes, like, the feel, like, the tenor of going to work every day. And I think perhaps that's J.D. Martinez.
Hmm.
Right. That's why I give him so much credit because I don't know if he's loud or whatever, but it just feels like there's a presence with him.
And the best players don't have to be the captains. That's what we've talked about with Alonso and Dor, even though he called the meeting. Exactly.
Right. And so the Mets have found something. And I don't know why or when it started, but I think it's real because these guys are good and they're playing to the level that they're supposed to be at.
Even if a purple blob is taking
it's
credit.
Not the purple blob.
I know. I'm going to bait you. Now, before we get to some Yankee news, I have to take this call for you, Tiki. Don in Milford. Don,
yes,
what's
the chicken
up?
And the egg.
Oh, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Tiki, debate, up? Just for debate, you Go know. You've heard that chickens were evolved from dinosaurs, right?
That's correct.
Velociraptor.
Right. So I said chicken, but I think the egg came first.
Okay. All right. Then we're on the same page. All right. Yes. Yeah, by far, because during that evolution, were they not coming out of eggs, right?
Yes, they were. But it wasn't laid by a chicken.
Oh, so you're changing your answer. Earlier you said chicken.
Yes, it's egg. I've always said egg. I don't know why I said chicken. Chicken and the egg comes first. The egg came first. but the egg wasn't laid by a chicken.
Huh.
So you're saying the dinosaur laid the first chicken?
Yes, or something like that. I don't know. or a fish lost its gills and became a human.
A fish can't swim without gills.
Yeah, but eventually they learned how to walk on land.
That's true. And look,
they learned how to breathe air.
I don't care who laid that egg. A chicken is delicious. So somewhere along the line, something made up, and I love it. Nothing better than chicken.
And the rooster has sex with all of them, as we know.
Yes. Cock-a-doodle-doo. Well, we got Yankee news, folks.
I don't know
what just happened. So I was handed this paper by Paulie Rosenberg. The Yankees have made what feels like 17 moves. Mm. Okay, so let's go through them here. The Yankees have recalled Clayton Andrews from AAA Scranton. Okay.
Wearing number
74.
There you go.
They signed Anthony Misiewicz, who I got to be honest with you, I'm not familiar with. Signed him to a major league contract. He's going to come right to the active roster. They signed Ben Rice to the major league contract, selected him to the active roster wearing 93. We knew that. Here's the negatives for the Yankees. We know about Anthony Rizzo, 10-day IL, but it's going to be longer than that, 4 to 6 weeks, right forearm fracture. Two that sting right now for the Yankees. Ian Hamilton is heading to the 15-day IL with a right lat strain. So Ian Hamilton, who obviously a big part of the Yankee bullpen, 15 days IL lat strain. We'll see how long that keeps him out. That's retroactive to June 17th. And a little less important because Gerrit Cole is back. However, Cody Petit is headed to the 15-day IL with a right tricep strain. Where that comes into play is, well, we better not have another starter go down because Cody Petit was really pitching well for the Yankees when he came up. Again, not necessarily needed now with Gerrit Cole coming back. And you wonder now, Tiki, I go back to yesterday when we found out that Gerrit Cole's pitching Wednesday, if the Petit injury had anything to do with not having Cole start another start in AAA.
Oh, I think that definitely is what it is.
Because why would you go then find another start or something like that, especially now? So Petit and Hamilton, IL, Rizzo, IL, Rice up, Anthony Misiewicz.
Yeah.
If I'm saying his name wrong, Misiewicz. Don't know. Misiewicz?
Misiewicz.
Yeah, that's how it
Misiewicz.
Says?
Misiewicz.
Misiewicz. Okay, yes. He's here on the major league contract, and Clayton Andrews is back from AAA. Additionally, a corresponding 40-man move will be announced later. So the Yankees lining everything up. But either way, man, missing Ian Hamilton from that bullpen is going to sting the New York Yankees. We're going to continue to take your calls on the Mets, the Yankees. I want to talk a little bit about Nestor Cortes ahead of a big start as well. First, though, we will take Keith in Brooklyn. Keith, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Hey, I called in on Sunday, Father's Day, and I spoke to Tommy. We briefly got into this, and I wanted to remind him. So the bottom line is with the Yankees, you can't rely on Judge and Soto all the time. And I don't know what they're waiting for. I mean, Rizzo, I mean, he's injured now, and LeMahieu and Torres, I mean, I'm sorry, they're just not cutting it. And if you want to win a World Series, I don't know what they're waiting for. Let me just finish. So my opinion, and I want to get your guys' opinion, of course, but I think they need one lights out reliever to add. I mean, we just had someone that went down. And I think they got to plug those three things. Now, the Ben Rice thing, I mean, Rizzo went down. I don't see what's so terrible about seeing what he could do. If not,
nothing terrible.
Then they got to go. Yeah, so, and that other call that called up there, he was talking about the second baseman on AAA. He has like 20 stolen bases.
Right.
What's wrong? I mean, you got duds in there now. What's wrong with, if you got duds, what do you got to lose by trying someone else? Or, better yet, maybe you guys can play GM for a second. Who do you want to bring in for third base, second base, and first base?
Well, if it's for third base, I'm okay with Cabrera at third base.
I'm a big play the youth guy.
Especially because the cost of going to get somebody else is not what Hal wants to do. It's just not what he wants to do.
And Cabrera's done enough. I hate to sound like an old farty guy. You don't need an all-star at every position.
No, you don't. You need someone who's consistent. And if he's going to, not platoon, but whatever, be interchangeable with DJ over there.
I'm fine with it.
I'm absolutely fine with that.
You have Peraza lurking in the wings if you need him.
Right. And so the challenge becomes, and I think his point was, there are not enough consistent bats, right? There's not enough, like, offense generation.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you don't trust Giancarlo Stanton, which to date, he's been fine. But he's not hitting for average. He never will. He's going to run into a bunch of home runs. But is he consistent enough once you get to the better teams, like we've seen with the Dodgers and, you know, not that, you know, the Red Sox were better, but, I mean, they fought them.
The Orioles, right, the first go around, we'll see this week.
Right. But, well, we saw the Orioles in the first, right, you know, back in end of April and in May. The Orioles were better. And so there is a little bit of concern, but you just hope that one of these young players, in this case now Ben Rice, is the bat that you need.
Yeah.
Right? Because he's not, they're not spending the money.
They're not, they'll still add something, but you're right. I would rather invest in a lights out.
I think it's going to be an arm. I think you're right.
I think that's the way you go.
It's more available.
I'm also not as panicky. I know that I've been a cloud of negativity recently.
But they have 50 wins, so how can you be panicky?
That's the thing. You know, you can't just rely on Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. Okay, pretty good two pillars, though, to build around, right, because if you're not relying on him, what are, right, other teams doing?
We have the best record in baseball, right, by the way.
And secondly, or thirdly, or fourthly, however you want to go down this, Anthony Volpe has been a positive presence.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Verdugo has been a positive presence. And like you mentioned, Giancarlo. And if and when Giancarlo isn't, I know Dominguez just got put on the IL.
Right.
He's still lurking.
Yes.
So, yes, you want to talk about what Rizzo struggled, and we'll see what Ben Rice does here. That could be an answer. Maybe it's not. If you're upset with Kleber, I totally get that. Peraza is still lurking, too.
Mm-hmm.
I am not as down overall in the Yankee lineup and the depth in their farm system to do that I'm panicking that the Yankees need to add a bat. And hopefully Ben Rice is that answer, and the Yankees run into another one with the prospects. And I'm not worried about Ben Rice over the next 3, 4, 5 years. I'm worried about him this year. And if this is all he gives us, the best of Ben Rice is this summer, I'm fine. It's Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. Way more Yankee injury news. Oh, my God. Here he is.
I'm here.
I'm a loser.
Yes.
Well.
Excuse me, sir. Can you get out of the seat?
Oh, I'm Wally Pipped again.
Oh,
Evan's back.
Very Wally Pipped, Sean.
No, you did a great job. Let's hear it for Sean Morash, ladies, nice, and gentlemen.
You better give that Yankee injury news because there's big ones.
There's big Yankee injury news?
He's got an MRI for Jason Dominguez.
Uh-oh. Oh, my goodness. How you doing, Tiki?
Good. Welcome.
I'm a little tired.
Did you like run here?
But I you're damn right I ran here, because when that judge, and I got a few things to say about that judge, all right, I'm gonna talk about that guy. When that judge dismissed us, you know what I did?
You ran here.
I said to my fellow jurors, I said, I am running to New York City.
Yeah.
And they said, why? And I said, so I can hang out with Tiki Barber, Sean Morash, and Tommy Lugauer.
Nice.
And you know what one of the women said?
What'd she say?
Oh, that Tommy Lugauer. I remember him from the dating scene. I said, really?
That's not true.
Now, that part's made up.
That would be epic if it was actually true.
I will tell you.
You're welcome, Evan.
Thank you. I got dismissed for the day. And let me address this judge, because the judge wanted to address me during session today. And since I'm a juror and I can't respond, I get to use the microphone to respond.
The most powerful thing on the planet.
Now, first of all, Mr. Judge, I appreciate you being okay with the fact that we did talk about you and jury duty on the radio. I never brought up the trial that I'm a part of.
All right.
I will continue to not bring up the trial I'm a part of, because I love our justice system.
Right. And it is not a criminal trial, so... Even if you did talk about it, it wouldn't be that bad, even though there would still be jury misconduct.
First of all, no comment on what kind of trial I'm involved in.
Noodle alert!
But this judge decided as soon as...
a criminal trial, you'd be sequestered somewhere.
Oh, is that true?
Yes.
Oh, forget it then.
All right. You wouldn't be like, out.
I didn't say anything. But as soon as I sit down, this judge says, well, we have a juror who likes to talk on the radio. And yes, I'm a Met fan juror. And yes, it's okay if I talk about how often they lose. And I'm like, listen. Well, I didn't say anything because, right, I couldn't respond.
In your mind, you were saying.
In my mind, I'm like, listen, Mr. Judge. You made a comment yesterday about how the Mets always lose. I wanted to respond that happened in a pre-Grimace world.
Oh, stop.
But in a post-Grimace world, we don't lose. And he was, I actually like the judge. Uh-huh. I think he's a great guy.
So he allowed you to talk. He allowed you to say that.
No, I never, I'm responding now. He made some comments about me, about juror number 6 or juror number 7 or what number I happen to be. But I couldn't respond. So I'm responding now. I like you, Mr. Judge. I don't understand how you're a freaking Dallas Cowboy fan. Tiki Barber says you're dead to him. But I just didn't like the judge or anybody else making some disparaging comments about the New York Mets.
Especially you can't handle the winning streak.
Well, that's
at the time, now 6.
Right. They're red hot. Like, things are good. It's okay as a Met fan to be happy. Like, that's allowed. That doesn't mean I think they're going to win the World Series, or he should think they're going to win the World Series. But when you make those LOL jokes about the Mets, maybe you take a break when the team is kicking that ass. And last night in Arlington, Texas, what'd they do, T?
They kicked ass.
They kicked the
as
ass.
As Evan said, there is a team that ends with ETS that can score two touchdowns.
who said that?
Sean said that. So you thought that was epic.
So you took the Met recent success to take a shot at the Jets?
Well, look, Zach Wilson couldn't do it. So.
Listen, that is totally fine.
Maybe if J.D. Martinez was under center, you'd be a little bit better.
That's a fair point. Now, one last thing about my jury trial, okay? Because I'm not talking about the trial. I'm not allowed to.
Mm-hmm.
I can confirm I am an alternate. And I can confirm that that bothers me, that I take that personal. And I find it very frustrating that I am not allowed in that room to help deliberate. Deliberate? Is that the right
word? Yes. Are they there yet?
Excuse me?
Are they there yet?
I can't comment on that. Stop trying to get information out of me, T.
I mean, you know, you had this conversation with Pete Alonso in the preseason or in spring training, and we kind of snuck some information out of you.
Listen, that was far different. Here's what I know, in all seriousness. Mm. And I know that many have said, Sean has said, I've heard callers of this radio station say, oh, get out of jury duty. Make something up. Don't respond to the letter. Say something you don't believe so that you're not selected. And I mean this with all truth, and I mean this about this judge, and I hope it gets back to him. I have found this experience incredibly educational.
I'm a loser.
I have found it to be incredibly important.
I'm a loser.
And it actually gives me faith in our legal system.
I'm a loser.
Our legal system is not perfect. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it is. But I have found this experience to be, like, amazing. Like, almost psychedelic. Almost as if...
he's going to go back to school and get his legal degree and be a lawyer. Maybe a judge.
I'm kind of thinking about it. Like, that judge has so much power.
Don't you have to, be elected as a judge in New York? I don't know.
I think for certain jobs you are, but I just want to hear, objection, Your Honor. And I'm like, sustained, bitches, or overruled, which still confuses me. Like, what does sustained or overruled even mean? But the judge has done a great job of explaining that. And I truthfully mean this. It sucks that I've misworked. And I appreciate everything you've done, Sean, everything you've done, Tiki. Apparently, BT and Sal did an extra hour today. I'm not sure why, but I appreciate them.
We'll explain it.
But
I had to give roses to somebody affiliated with this station.
Okay. I'll give roses to everybody. Everybody's doing a great job. But I have no regrets. Because this is America, baby. This is what we do. And if you're ever on trial, you're going to want your jurors to give a damn. And you're going to want your jurors to pay attention.
This fact.
And you're going to want your jurors to not say, oh no, I've got to go to work. Whatever that job is, whether you're a waiter, a waitress, a fireman, a talk show host, a teacher, it doesn't matter. Because your responsibility as an American is to be a fair, impartial juror. And I'm damn proud of it. And I have no regrets. Thank you.
All right, you just don't want your alternate juror to be a talk radio host.
Right. Are you done taking bows, Captain America?
I know, right? I'm not taking bows. I'm just saying I have no regrets, and I have found the experience to be rewarding.
Yes.
Good news. Tomorrow is a holiday. It's Juneteenth, and there's no court day. So I'll be here tomorrow for a full day.
There you go. Can we break the glass now, please?
You ready for the Yankee news?
Blake, break the glass.
Wait, there's Yankee news?
All right. We gave the injury report. Evan, did you hear it listening?
Well, I am aware that Ian Hamilton will not throw for a couple of weeks, and he's going on the injured list. Mm-hmm. I am aware that you guys signed that crappy former Mariner lefty, Andrew Mashevitz, I think is his name.
Mashevitz.
Who is on my fantasy team 17 times, as well as Lugie's. I am aware of that piece of Yankee news.
All right, so Ian Hamilton going on the 15-day, he's not even going to throw for 3 to 4 weeks.
Yes.
So that's a problem. That came out. Petit, no throw for 1 to 2 weeks. But we still don't know what the injury is. Chris Kirschner has it. Jason Dominguez is awaiting MRI results.
Wasn't it a lat? Or, no, oblique? What did they even say? Did they even say?
He got put on a 7-day IL. We still don't know what it is, but he's awaiting MRI results.
Well, it has to be something core related. Because
wasn't it related to a check swing?
Yes, has to be. No. It doesn't have to be. It could be anything.
Right. But they
he
never
could have broke
us.
His pinky. I don't know. But if you check swing, you're likely stopping, like your muscles are trying to contract at the wrong moment.
Right.
And you've strained something. I would think it's an oblique or an abdominal issue. Surprised they haven't said anything, especially if they're already sending him for an MRI. But that just puts a little damper on the idea that Jason Dominguez is going to be available at some point.
Now, positive relief news, we've taken calls on what the Yankees could be looking at for at the deadline. The ghost that is Scott Efros is finally starting a rehab assignment tomorrow in Tampa.
That could be a big addition.
Which could be the version of the Yankees trade deadline acquisition.
I know, I hate that cliche, but it's so true. Yeah, the Jason Dominguez thing stinks because we sat here, and we've all sat here for a long time talking about, hey, what happens when Dominguez comes back?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the easy solutions we all love to say on social media or on talk radio is stick someone at first base. And that's not realistic. Like, you're not going to stick Aaron Judge at first base in the middle of a pennant race. It's just not going
to
happen.
And they brought up Ben Rice to do that now.
Right, who they've also stuck at first base, but at least he's learned at the minor league system he's a converted catcher.
For a little bit.
But I think we all assume this would take care of itself because of injuries. And the assumption would be Giancarlo Stanton. And to the credit of Giancarlo Stanton, he has not gotten hurt, knock on wood. It's just kind of shocking and unfortunate that the way it takes care of itself is Jason Dominguez, especially because he's come back from Tommy John surgery. Mm-hmm. He was tearing it up in the minor leagues. He was ready to come up and help this team if they had a spot available for him. And if it is an oblique, that's a long kind of process.
Yeah, this is kind of what Aaron Judge had at the beginning of the season, right? That he missed a little bit of spring training. Not really, a little bit. He missed all of spring training with an oblique injury because he swung too much?
Mm-hmm.
Swung too much in the offseason? But before you got here, Evan, Sean and I were talking about why this farm system, especially the way it's constructed with these kids that feel like they're ready right now, is so important. We've already heard Hal say he's not spending the money. Right? And in so many words, he said it is unsustainable to keep buying and buying and buying and spending money. And so you almost need the Ben Rices of the world to work out. You need the Jason Dominguez's to work out. Volpe's already worked out. You need Peraza to get healthy so he can be an option here. Obviously, Cabrera's been up in the majors for a while now, so he's been worked out. Like, they need these young players because he's not going to spend the money.
Yeah, but here's the good news. If you recall, and I think it was 3 years ago now, do you guys remember the trade deadline where the New York Yankees acquired Anthony Rizzo and Joey Gallo?
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I know, Joey Gallo did not work out. But if you remember back to that trade deadline, what Brian Cashman did very meticulously was he acquired two guys and somehow managed to keep the Yankee payroll in check while acquiring those guys. Because sometimes that team trading a player away will pick up enough of the contract, especially if you give a better prospect back. Now, ideally, I have an owner who says, I don't want to give you the better prospect. I'll just pay whatever it costs. So I'm not arguing that this is ideal. What I would argue slightly with you, Tiki, is that Brian Cashman has shown all of us that he can get creative.
Hmm.
And if the Yankees need to add a first baseman or a second baseman or a bullpen arm, and I think the bullpen arm is clearly what they're going to need, they can do it in a creative way without actually picking up payroll.
Right.
What works out with this Rizzo injury, because look, it sucks that the guy got hurt. I know I've ripped him a lot for the way he's played.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see the guy get hurt. But here's what's good, the blessing in disguise, if you will. I'm surprised the Yankees called up Ben Rice. I'd be honest with you. We had a caller about Ben Rice a week ago, and I said, I doubt it. He's just learned first base. He just got called up to AAA, and I gave you every reason why they wouldn't call him up, and I raised my hand. This is why I'm a jurist, because I'm honest.
Mm-hmm.
I don't I don't like you adding that. I don't like that.
Hey.
I mean, it's factual, but it just alternate. I was wrong.
Right.
The Yankees called up Ben Rice, but here's what's great, Teak. They have a month for this kid to play.
Right, to figure it out.
And if he is not a major leaguer, defensively, offensively, we'll see. They're going to run him out there every day. I've already done some research because I had some break time as a juror. Ben Rice was hitting lefties better than righties down in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
How about that?
Well, now he is.
What do you mean now he is?
Because he wasn't before.
Oh, really?
Look at you. His splits were bad against lefties. And so we had callers say, hey, he'll be a platoon hitter, right? Whether it's DJ or whoever else you want to throw in there. But if he started to hit lefties, now it's going to be a different story when you're hitting major league lefties.
Sure, sure.
As opposed to the minor lefties. But still, if he can hit lefties and he can actually play first base, maybe luckily solved your problem.
Well, and the truth is, He has to defensively be decent, okay? That's all he's got to do, because if he hits enough, the simple solution is late in games, you have a defensive replacement.
Right.
Oswaldo comes in to play third, DJ moves to first base. So this is great. Like, you brought this up the other day about Francisco Alvarez, how the Mets called him up before the biggest series of the year on the final weekend of the year against Atlanta back in 2022. I think we said it at the time. Less than ideal.
Yeah.
Less than ideal to call up.
Go grab a bat.
A lot less than ideal.
Right.
Hey, go figure it out.
What's really ideal is when you're in first place, granted in a very close pennant race, you're in first place, it's the middle of June, and you say, you know what, here's your shot, kid.
Mm-hmm.
If you go out and perform, you could be our first baseman going into the real pennant race of this season. But if not, okay, well, not the end of the world. We'll go get somebody.
The beauty of it for Ben Rice, because opportunities, look, they're not perfect. And this is not a perfect opportunity against a lesser opponent. This is an opportunity against the Orioles of all teams. If he performs, then we won't forget it, right? As fans, you remember he came up in that critical series against the Orioles? Because remember, they lost 3 of 4 back at the end of April and May. So if he comes and he plays the way that he has been playing in the minor leagues, he gets a chance to really make his stamp early.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen all the time.
No,
so
right.
He gets a real shot to make a stamp, which is awesome for him, but he's just got to do it.
I just got emotional about something.
What's that?
I got a little emotional about something. I started thinking of Ben Rice. I started thinking about him parking one into the right field seats. I started thinking about the electricity of Yankee Stadium. And I started to think about what John Sterling would have said.
Isn't it obvious?
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Up steps the rookie, Ben Rice. The pitch. Swung on and belted to right field. There it goes. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Rice is nice. Been there, done that. Ben Rice gets the Yankees on the board. They take a 2-0 lead.
See, I wasn't...
He hasn't been there yet. He hasn't done that.
I wasn't thinking of that.
Maybe if he hits his, like, 20th of the year September, maybe.
We all have
been there, done that thing.
We all love Sterling. You're giving him too much credit if you think he'd think that hard about the
pitch. Can I counter one with you?
Sure.
All right. The pitch. Hit in the air to deep right field. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Ben Rice with a 3-run home run. Hey, Susan, how do you like your home runs? I like mine with a side of rice. And the Yankees take a 17-2 lead. No?
No. Was that bad on purpose?
What do you mean? I'm playing off of the rice. Like, it's food.
That part, but it was, no good.
Oh, how about this?
Okay.
It is high. It is far. It is gone. Oh, that home run was sweet. Some might call it rice pudding. And the Yankees take a 3-0 lead.
Worse.
How about this one?
All right.
It is high. It is far. It is gone. Ben Rice, he has no lice. And the Yankees take a 6-1 lead. Lice. It's the bugs you get in your hair.
I wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know.
So you don't like any of those?
No. Those are all terrible.
Can someone call John to find out what he would have said if he was calling? Do you think he would still do that? Like a jukebox? Hey, John, I know you're not broadcasting anymore, but hypothetically, if Ben Rice hit a home run. Excuse me, who is Ben Rice?
Can you write some material for us, John?
Yeah.
Rice makes a pitcher Ben, and they break.
Never mind.
Why are you stuck on Ben? Wouldn't you be stuck on Rice?
Well, I gave you Rice is nice the first one, and I got the crickets.
Yeah, well, that's Loogie playing the crickets.
You're playing them with your eyes.
I mean, a little bit, but were mine amazing? All I know is, who's calling the game tonight? Do we know who it is? Is it Emmanuel? Is it...
Justin Shackle.
Justin Shackle.
No, I believe it's Burke tonight.
Oh, really?
I think it's Brian Burke.
What'd you call him?
Is it not Brian Burke?
Brendan
Burke.
I'm sorry. Schmeilander.
Who is Brian Burke? Why do I know? I mean, I know a Brian Burke.
The Texas Rangers have a reliever named Brooke Burke.
He's a friend of mine. He got married in my backyard. At least his reception was in my backyard. But I don't know. Who's Brian Burke? Where'd that come from?
I don't know. That was just a bad job.
That was bad. That was horrible.
It was a nice try. But no, Brendan Burke is his name. He'll be calling the game tonight. I'm sure he'll do a fantastic job. Let's go to Steve on Long Island. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Evan, I'm glad you made it.
Well, I'm glad to be here. How are you?
I'm great. Geeky, Hall of Famer.
Appreciate
Rudy
it.
Loves you.
Thank you.
The only good show on the radio right now.
Well, I think there's more, but
say
I appreciate
that right off the bat.
Well, there's a lot of good shows on the radio, but we appreciate it.
No, dude, I listen.
Don't fight with me. I'm in a feisty mood today. Don't want to fight with me.
He's a juror.
Bottom line is, go ahead.
I know you're a juror, and I've been there, done that. I spoke to you and Craig a long time ago about my little federal vacation, brother. and I said Boomer was still mad at him. And he said, Stevie, you're right. Anyway,
all right.
The Met, dude, it's all Alvarez.
He's been a big part of it.
Well, here's what I would say.
There's no stolen bases. There's no throwing the ball into the outfield.
That's the thing you nailed on. So one thing that was really encouraging from last night, I'll do two parts, kind of like, whatever, I'm not going to say anything. I want to make references. I can't make references. Nothing, okay?
What's your jury trial? You're talking about your trial?
No, I was not.
Oh, something else.
I'm trying to tell Tiki to shut up with my eyes. Francisco Alvarez hit a little bit last night, which was a great, great sign because I think we're excited about what he can do offensively.
Yes.
Let's now get down to the facts. For whatever reason, and it is a very small sample size, the team ERA, when Francisco Alvarez catches, is on a different planet as compared to everybody else, whether it's Tomas Nido, Omar Narvaez, and now Luis Torrens. And even since he's come back from the IL, if I'm not mistaken, because I don't have any tablets in front of me. Usually I've got my technology, but I was in such a rush to get here. I've got none of that. But I think he's caught 4 of the 6 games since he's come back. And if you look at those four games, the Mets are allowing about 1.5 per game. Mm. So
you're saying he's not getting credit for being the defensive mind behind what's happening.
I think I made a mistake yesterday because when Sean said Francisco Alvarez is like the OG Anunoby, my first reaction was to dismiss him because my first reaction was, well, he hasn't really hit since he's come back. And that's true.
So you're thinking offense.
But that's not fair because a catcher is more than that.
Right.
And last night was yet another example that the Met pitchers, again, it could be a coincidence because it's not a massive sample size. The Met pitchers have been far better when Francisco Alvarez is catching. And so maybe there is a little OG to it because OG is a defensive-minded player. And sometimes when he's not dropping 25 a night, you don't notice as much how well he's playing defensively. And I think for us on a night-to-night basis, maybe we forget, maybe we don't realize, or maybe we don't take it serious enough yet. But the pitching staff's a lot better when Alvarez catches him.
Well, that's because of the work he puts on. We talked about this last year when he was a rookie, and we didn't have an idea of how good of a defensive-minded catcher he'd be, controlling what his pitchers are doing, etc. And he got lauded for that last year. I don't know why we forgot it. Mm. I don't know why it wasn't something that we also talked about being missed when he was out with his injury. But I mean, they're 17-1 when he's played.
That's insane.
It's insane. It is kind of OG-like. So we talk about, you know, the comparison between OG. It's that as well.
Right.
Offensively, whether he hasn't hit a ton of home runs this year, but essentially the corner three or the lockdown defense. He's kind of been that player for the Mets.
And the facts of this, they win all the time.
Right. Well, they win all the time. And it's Francisco Alvarez. Someone called yesterday and said, it's always Francisco Alvarez. But it's also Lindor. It's also JD Martinez. It's also Nimmo finally start. Like, there's everything seems to be working right now. And so the guys have just started playing.
Well,
you left something out.
You left something out.
Edwin Diaz.
No,
as well.
You left something out.
Who did I leave out?
No, you're being disrespectful.
Mindy?
Nope. You're being disrespectful. And I'm
not mentioning Grimace.
No, you are going to mention Grimace.
I am not going to mention Grimace.
Why not?
Because it easily could have been the Hamburglar. And all of a sudden, you'd say the Hamburglar is the reason that the Mets are winning. I give credit to the man in the arena.
Tiki.
The man whose blood and tears.
Tiki, we all know the Mets are winning because of players, okay?
Yes.
We all get that. But can I tell you why over the last 36 hours, I as a diehard Met fan, just me, only
Please
speaking for
me.
Myself.
Please tell
I don't
me.
Know what Lugie thinks about this. He may agree or disagree. He's a wacky one. I have no idea. I have fallen in love with Grimace.
Okay. Are you going to McDonald's more frequently?
I may consider it.
Are you going to get a milkshake and ask for the purple one?
I am definitely going to do that, yes.
Okay.
And I'm also going to be buying a lot of Grimace paraphernalia for my children. Mm-hmm. But Lugie, I'm just curious, as positive Met fan, are you Grimace guy or not a Grimace guy?
I'm a Lugie guy, and I think the turnaround started when I was being positive.
Right.
And I'm not going to allow Grimace to get my spotlight.
So you think Grimace is a threat?
Right. He's trying to usurp your role as the man of the people.
Here's the difference. I have a voice. He doesn't. He's just some fat McDonald's character. So good luck.
But here's why you can't put your personal beliefs ahead of Grimace. I shaved my beard to get the Mets going. I don't care if I don't get credit. Like, whatever. The Mets are winning. Your positivity started before that, right? So you're kind of like me. We're both in that boat of, we tried. It's not really us. It's Grimace.
I'm willing to go this far. We are the Avengers. Your beard, Grimace, Jorge Lopez's glove, my positivity. We are the Avengers.
Deal.
The team meeting.
Deal.
The Avengers of turning around the season. I am willing to do that.
Okay.
But he doesn't get all the spots.
Okay. Here's why I'm in love with Grimace, though. Okay, can I sell this to the Mets fan who is not in love with Grimace?
Please tell us.
You're not in love with Grimace? I just want to know if I'm prosecuting or defending. I'm confused.
Not in love with him.
You're not in love.
No.
Okay. Sal's not in love with him? That's what I heard?
No. Sal hates him.
Someone texted me and said that Sal hates Grimace.
He
is that true?
He does.
Of course. Okay. Everybody likes Grimace.
You're an idiot? Hate him. Okay. So I'm talking to Sal and I'm talking to Loogie. And every other Met fan out there, I want to at least attempt you to sell you on the beauty of Grimace. And you know what? I'll do that when we come back. Sean's got a Cinco de 5-0 coming up. And also why this Yankee Orioles series, there's history on the line. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but like, I'm not even pulling any legs here. Like, major baseball history is on the line this week when the Yankees take on the Orioles. And of course, your calls at 888-808-1019.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.